In Europe, I could get to the hoop and I could finish over the guys easy. And then I came to the Phoenix Suns, you know, first practice, Shaq was under the basket.
Here we go, guys. We back with a special edition of the OGs. It's always good to be to have my friends and family in the building. You know what I mean? I know we don't look alike, but this is my brate. If you know anything about that, that's my brother. So I'm going to sit with both of my brothers. I'm actually going to sit with two of my brothers. Don't worry about what they look like. They ain't got nothing to do with it. So I appreciate you, Goran Dragic, in the building tonight.
Gogi, the Dragon.
The Dragon. Gogi, Goran, all that good shit, man. Welcome to the OG show, Gogi. Thank
Iron
you.
Iron Shoulder.
Iron Shoulder. I forgot about that.
You gave me that nickname, shoulder. Man.
You're right. You're my dog. Listen, let me tell you something. One of my favorite teammates, and not because of his skill set, because the motherfucker tough as nails.
Yeah.
Tough as fucking nails. So this is an honor for me to have him. And he's also recently retired, like myself. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Yeah. Congrats. Welcome.
Welcome to the here. Club, huh?
Yeah, welcome. Don't worry about that old motherfucker. He's been out the game. Don't worry about him. We've been out the game.
You know what? Mike could still play now. Just put him in the corner and shoot that thing, man.
You're right about that.
Play zone.
You're right about that. All you got to be able to do is shoot that thing. For sure, for sure.
We play zone, Mike.
That's exactly what
with you
exactly,
too.
Exactly, man. We better play zone. So talk about it, man. He was your team. Like, give me some UD stories, man. We're going to jump right into it. Give me some UD stories.
Don't do it like UD. Because,
you know, everyone talks about how he held it down. He did hold it down.
Oh, he did, man.
Let's go back to the bubble, bro.
Let's get right into it.
Let's go back to the bubble, man. And obviously, you know, obviously, you've been in the Heat culture for, you know, a period of time. And it's always like, what's the secret to the success? And how does it work? Because when people look at the rosters and they don't see the talent that they would expect us to have the success that we have, they say the math ain't mathing. Just go back to the bubble, man, and just go back to how close-knit we are, how much time we spend together, and how different that is, because you've been in a couple of situations.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were drafted by the Spurs,
yep.
Got traded to Phoenix,
yep.
Then you end up in Houston,
yeah.
Then you end up with us, and then, you know, I think it was Toronto after that.
Yeah, we don't count after
that. You've been a couple different places.
I was already out, man.
You've been a couple places. Tell us what was special about being with the Heat, and just go back to that.
Now, with the Heat, what was special to me was like we were really close as a team. You know, we always hang out. You know, we were like brothers. You know, you have my back. I had, Tyler's back. Mm-hmm. Bam has. We were there to help each other. Yes. And not every team is like that, to be so close. And in the bubble, you know, what I think was the most important thing, like, we didn't fuck with anybody else. Like, we just hang out. We just hang out, us, you know?
Yeah.
We went to practice, from practice to lunch. We didn't say hi to nobody. We were just
So you help me out, because I was too old. I wasn't in the bubble. Mm. So in the bubble, like, teams were, like, opposing teams were hanging out? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not us, though.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, I'm saying, but they're just...
Yeah, there you can see, like, from the window, we would play cards, and you see downstairs, there were, like, two Clippers, like, two Dallas guys. They were just hanging out together.
The guys would gamble together, play cards together, you know, hang out together.
Got
a water park, go to the water park together.
Yeah, playing golf.
Play golf together. Yeah, we weren't about that shit.
Set
the tone early.
We were in OG's room or Jimmy's room and just play cards and, you know, just hang out or...
That had to be long, though,
heat
man.
Gang killer. Heat
that,
gang.
That had to be long, though, sitting in that bubble doing that.
Man, it was a long
96 days.
Yeah, 96 days.
It was a long 3 months.
And we lost
3 months.
Yeah, and then lost the finals.
Yeah, that was...
But you... Let's go back to that, because I don't think... Well, if you understand we weren't at full strength, how are you affected in that finals with, you know,
I mean,
your
not even... I mean, yes, the finals the most, but even my...
I remember that.
My first... the first we play against Indy.
Yes.
So first game, second game, I was okay, and then I start to feel my heel. I thought there was a bruised heel, so I had a pain in my heel. Every morning that I woke up, I was like, oh my God, what is this? And then, you know, they told me that it's just a bruise, but then every game was worse and worse. I can feel like, you know, yeah. like something is happening. So, but I didn't know what. And in the end, you know, Brandon,
yes,
B. They knew that I was a plantar fasciitis, and then it was just was getting worse. So, you know, he told me there is like 10 or 15% of chance that he's gonna snap. Oh. So I said, okay, I'm good with that. You know, it's like I got 75, 80%. That's I'm tough. I'm gonna go through it. And I was on the pills. Every game was harder and harder. But you know, that was my life. You know, playoffs.
He said he was on the pills. That's the funniest shit. Remember when we were in back to the finals for 3 years in a row together?
Yeah.
I wasn't here the fourth year, but it was like the running joke in Miami was like before the game there'd be like four or five guys sitting there getting ready to take a shot.
Oh, yeah.
He said he's on the pills. That's what I thought about. We'd all just say, all right, who's up next? Boom. Three straight finals, a lot of fucking basketball. Oh,
three
yeah.
straight finals, a lot of fucking basketball.
Yeah, we're so broke down.
But when I told you, when you asked me, because I had the same injury, and I told you, I was like, go ahead and pop that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
You better off just popping the motherfucker. Because I popped my plantar fascia. You better off just popping it and continue to deal with that pain that you're going to deal with. You pop that motherfucker.
You do your own surgery.
Yes, yeah. You'll pop that motherfucker and do your own surgery. So, obviously, fast forward, did it pop? I don't remember.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah,
the first,
I only played 5 minutes of the first game of the finals.
Yeah,
and it popped. I remember the play. I was driving by Rondo, and I just heard like, I asked him, "Did you kick me?"
Yeah,
you know, I was like, "What is going on?" And then I just started feeling like a golf ball. Like swelling up under my.
Yeah. I did it when I was playing for the Wizards the year I was playing there. Same thing. I was making a cut, hard cut, and all you hear is.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, damn, someone's shooting at me.
Yeah.
And I took the next step. I said, that was like, I did my calf. I tore my calf muscle. It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. That shit hurts.
Tear your calf muscle for a non-athletic motherfucker, guys. I tore a calf muscle for a non-athletic motherfucker.
Hey, listen, you ain't got to laugh. I know this is this show. You ain't got to laugh at the shit you be talking. Cause you just
I'm
be talking.
I'm just saying, killer.
He was always on his tippy toes to shoot that. You know, it's a lot of stress on the calf.
I'm talking shit. Killer was in a dunk contest, wasn't he? In the McDonald's All-American. Yeah, he was in a dunk contest in Florida. Yeah, he was. I'm talking that shit, but Killer has some hot.
Hey, so talk about growing up playing basketball. The difference, like, right now, European basketball is really, you know, pressing what American basketball is, right? Yeah. You see every draft, you're starting to see it. You came in before that was like the norm.
Yes.
Talk about growing up playing basketball over there and what you think the difference is, because you live here now. What the difference is between that and Americanized basketball?
And not just European, Slovenia.
Yeah.
I know about stank ass France and all that. I've been there.
Yeah.
I know about Spain. I've been there.
Stank ass France.
I know about all these fucking places. I've been there.
You know, I invite OG to come to Slovenia. He's like, do you guys have cars over there? You still got horses?
Horse and buggy over there?
I also asked him, do they got weed? If they ain't got weed, I ain't going.
They do now.
I ain't going if they ain't got no weed, killer. That's not a vacation for me. That's too fucking stressful. I stay here.
So talk about it though, for real.
Yeah, if I go back, you know, it's a way different environment because we don't have like colleges for basketball. You go straight to the club. So
the club that he used to go to. Like
not
the titty club. You're talking about
I'm a basketball club. Yeah.
They definitely got pink nipples in that club. Pink nipples and pasties.
Yeah, you're right.
It's way different because. You know, when I was 14, 15, I was already playing with a grown man.
Fucking pro.
You know, with Luca's dad, for example.
How crazy was that? Luca's dad was your freaking mentor.
He was a captain of our team and the best player. He was nice. Not nice like Luca, but his same size, same shot. No handles, though. But, he was nice. And then, you know, when you're 15, 16 years old, you go with those guys. You travel around to different countries playing.
So mom and dad just let you go hang out with 29-year-old, 30-year-old man.
Yeah. I mean, it was already a job. You know? Yeah. I was getting paid.
You was getting paid
15.
Early?
What'd they pay you? Yeah. Just
500 euros a month.
500 euros a month.
But that was first day that I got it. Was gone.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Shit, 500 euros a month. I'd take 15, that by 15. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. That's better joy.
But you know, he's
Pippen Jordan.
Slovenian Jordan. Spell Slovenian Jordan. Shit.
All right, so 500.
500. I ain't had no fucking money for a 15-year-old, $500.
I know, but hey, you know, we got a coupons for the meals too, free food. That was the number one for me, you know, food.
Yeah, oh my food.
But yeah, you know, you're hanging out with the adults. You know, you come to the locker room, they're bed-ass naked, smoking cigars. And cigarettes, you know, you're like, what is going
you're
on?
You're 14.
I'm 14, you know, so it's
14 making 500 euros a month.
But they did take care of us. You know, every time when we go on the road trip or something, we would go out with them to the clubs at 14 years old.
Wow.
You know, they would take care of us, you know, or he's with us.
Sound like me.
Yeah, that sound like you.
That sound like me. I would definitely.
And you know, when you're 14, 15 and you're playing against those guys, you have to be tough, because they're stronger, they're, you know, faster. But that's how I learned to be tough, because I lost my tooth, I broke 3 times my nose, you know, got stitches, and you know, that's just how I grew up.
So you start at 14, you're going through all this that you're talking about. So how old are you then when you get drafted by San Antonio and then traded to Phoenix?
I was 20. I was 20.
So
I
played 6 years over there like that?
Yes, I played 4 years in Slovenia. Then I signed with the Spain, Tau Ceramica. So I moved to Spain when I was 18 by myself. At that team, I played with Pablo Prigioni, with Luis Scola.
Yeah,
Scola, okay.
Yeah, Mirza Teletovic was there, you know, the shooter he used to
play.
Oh,
yeah, oh, yeah.
So I played there for 1 year, and then I come back to Slovenia. Because I signed with Union Olimpia, we play EuroLeague. Mm-hmm. And after that, I got drafted. The only workout that I did for a team was the Phoenix Suns, because I had the same agent that Steve Nash did, Bill Duffy, and that was the only team that I wanted to go there because of Steve. And then I got drafted and came to the States. So
talking about that, though, from 14 to 20, obviously that's a life experience most American kids don't see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you credit, though? Like, what do you credit the your guys' basketball keeps coming up? And there's been arguments on a bunch of podcasts everywhere. Like, European basketball is getting there, right? Slovenia is getting there. Like, all the stuff, it's becoming a global sport, obviously, more and more. Like, what do you credit that to? Is that some of the stuff?
Yeah, I do. I credit this, and I credit because when you're young, they teach you more as a system, to know how to play the system, you know? They don't give so much attention about dribbling, about like athleticism, but it's more like when you at the young age, they already put you in the system. You need to know how to play the system to play the right way, and you know, pick and roll, spacing, where to hit the guy, and I think so that's the most fundamental, especially for those Europeans. And then when you come to the NBA, that's a different story, because you have to deal with athleticism and everything else. So,
was that the hardest adjustment? Was the speed and athleticism?
You know, for me, the hardest thing was not athleticism. I always like to play fast, you know, up tempo game. But you know, I was not a good shooter when I was young.
Wow.
So because in Europe I could get to the hoop and I could finish over the guys easy. And then I came to the Phoenix Suns, you know, first practice, Shaq was under the basket.
Fuck.
So I would go, I would penetrate, and I thought, I'm going to, you know, lay it up, you know, block. And I was like, okay, I need to change the game. So then I had floater, mid-range. Mm-hmm. When I come to the Heat, three-point line, you know, so that was the hardest thing, just to, you know, to kind of learn when to shoot, how to shoot, and
we weren't letting that motherfucker get a shot off when we played him. I was trapped. We were trapped the shit out of Goran. He coming off that pick and roll, we would trap his ass.
True.
Get
true.
Off there. You gonna make him get off that motherfucker. You won't get in the paint today, Jack.
It was funny. It was funny because when we played the Heat, oh my God, I was like, shit. I already knew what they're gonna do, you know, and I always call CB to the pick and roll. But, you know, he was a little bit slower. Yeah. But as soon as OG got in, shit, he's trapped. You know, my average against the team, the lowest is against the Heat.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
16 points.
That's his every fucking time. Low average. Get the fuck out of here. That's no, 16 but, points is low against us. God damn.
No, but every team was higher. Like, but against Miami, he was always because of OG.
Put two on the ball. Put two on the ball. You come off that pick and roll, getting downhill, we couldn't do shit with going around. You know what I'm saying? So we put two on the ball every time. I couldn't wait to trap his ass. I couldn't wait to trap his ass.
Hey, so going back to it, though, because I'm intrigued by this.
Me right? too.
I'm intrigued because it's something that we don't know anything about. You play with Luka's dad. So you said before we even got on the show that you saw Luka at 2 years old. He's come around. So you noticed him too.
Yeah, he was like 3, 2. He would come and watch. You know, he would be at practices. His mom would bring him or his dad. And then when he was older, like 8, 7, he would be a ball boy. Mm-hmm. Or come watch the game. So here you can see, you know, we were a champion.
Yes.
And Luka is right there.
Yes.
You know, every picture is Luka in the green jersey. That's him.
That's wow. Luka?
That's Luka, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
right, yeah. Good question.
It's crazy how, and even back then when he would play, I don't know, he was 10, 11. You know, he was so dominant, even then he would score like 40, 50, 60 points. It's crazy.
So
he was already a hooper, you know, he was a baller. Man.
He's fucking him.
Yes, he is.
He is fucking him. Did you know? Did you know he was going to be that dude when he got over here? Did you know?
Did you see it? I know 2017 when we had a training camp for our national team 2 months before Eurobasket, mm-hmm. and he was 17 and just watching him at practice, oh my God.
Yeah.
He would make some passes that I don't even know how he, how he was doing that. And his IQ was so good at 17, he's like, I knew it. Yeah. The only thing I kind of questioned a little bit was his speed and everything for the NBA.
Mm.
But, now.
They haven't all speed him up since he got in the league.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Nobody speeds him up. Can he win? Because I love his game. But can he win it?
I think so. He can win. He just need to change a little bit. Maybe trust more his teammates. I'm not saying because he do pass the ball.
Yes,
just get off the ball a little bit more.
Yeah.
And because if you have the ball so much in your hand, you get tired.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's a long season. And even in the playoffs, I think so. That's too much.
I'm very intrigued this year, this go around with his Dallas Mavericks team,
maybe.
Because Luka's always had fucking King Kong balls. Playoff basketball, he's been elite, right? And obviously being through playoff experiences like we have, like your star guys can win you 3-4 games, which wins you a series.
Yeah.
They have two of those dudes now that can do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with Kyrie and him, because Kyrie can go win you 2 games, and Luka can win you 2 games. They can win you a series. So it's like now – it's weird watching, though. If you watch Dallas play, and I know you guys are all watching it, like they're really just running two at those guys all the time and making other players beat them. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with P.J. Washington, who's been played great since he's been over there.
Exum's
been
playing fucking great.
Yeah, they've been playing. So Dante Exum's playing great. So that team's going to be interesting, man, because it's like those two dudes are dudes now.
No, they're fucking dudes. They're fucking dudes.
And you can see the difference from last year. I feel like Luka is giving the ball more to Kyrie. Mm-hmm. So and then you have always post said, like, stars gonna win you two or three games, but then one game,
role player
is going to be,
they gotta step
gonna
the
be
fuck
open
up.
And they're going to have to make shots. And
they got to step the fuck up.
Yeah.
What do you think about the current Heat team? Now we're talking current basketball right now. What do you think of the current Heat team?
I mean, you know, with the Heat, is always they're always going to play tough. I mean, you know, they're always in the mix. I really do, you know, Spo is a great coach, a lot of experience. Bam is already a leader. You got Jimmy. Tyler is healthy now, just came back.
Yeah.
You know, then you have our role players that you know, they know what they need to do. I think so. Who is now the voice in the locker room? Probably K-Love or?
Yeah, K-Love. I mean, K-Love. You know, we preach leadership at all levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody. Somebody got to say something. Preach leadership at all levels. Somebody better fucking say something in this motherfucker.
You need to go back just before the game, like the 30 minutes before the toss-up. You just have a speech for them.
Every now and then I am. Huh? I'm there in the morning for practices and stuff like that. Sometimes I show up for the game, but that's family time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's family time. My kids got baseball and everything like that. Yeah. But I do have a question for you because you explain the history of your country. I didn't understand the history of the split and everything. I'm just telling you, I went to school for basketball, ladies and gentlemen. I did not go to school for, I did not go to school with geography.
Shocking.
What they call it? What the fuck they call a map? Geography?
Geography.
I did not go to school for that. I might watch a little Animal Planet, but I don't pay attention. So explain the split, because you explained the history of your country and I didn't understand it until you explained it.
The country before was Yugoslavia.
Yes.
So
did you know this?
Yeah.
Oh shit, my bad. I guess I'm not. Go ahead, Cookie. My bad, but I tell you.
So it was Yugoslavia, you had what? Five or six countries. So it was Slovenia, now it's Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, and Macedonia. Six countries.
Okay.
And, you know, and so the war was when the was 91. Mm-hmm. We split. Mm-hmm. So all these countries split. You know, back in the day, imagine the national team. You had Dražan Petrović, Vukoč, Dino Radja, Vlade Divac. You know, even now, if we would still exist the same country, you would have Luka, Jokić, Vucevic, Bogdanović, Bojan Bogdanović, Marjanović. You know, that would be...
You can say it.
They'd be loaded. They'd be fucking loaded, bro.
We can play against you guys.
That'd be fucking good to watch. That'd be fucking great to watch.
That would be fun.
It was, you know, we have a lot of pride in basketball.
Yes.
Especially that region.
Yes.
Number one sport is basketball. So yes.
Not even close?
Soccer? Second.
Because you said you grew up playing soccer first,
soccer,
right?
I grew up playing soccer until 11. Then I had a leg injury. And I stopped playing, and one of my best friends was playing basketball, and he asked me if I want to go and watch practice. So I went, I was sitting on the bleachers, and they had nine guys. And coach is like, hey, you up there, we need one more guy. Can you come down and play? I said, yeah, why not? And that's how I started playing basketball.
All you kids at home.
And the dragon was born.
All you kids at home, you heard this shit? Just stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. All bullshit aside,
stay ready so you ain't got to get ready.
The motherfucker literally just showed up to a practice and they needed an extra one. And this motherfucker went into the league. And now he's one of the greatest players to ever come out of this country.
And the dragon was born.
That shit is crazy. So, I'm not mistaken, is your country the smallest?
Now it's the smallest. We only have 2 million people.
And now that's why.
The whole country.
The whole country.
Yeah.
So at one point we had 8 NBA players,
and out of 2 million people.
Yeah. So it was Rashan Nesterović.
Rashan was good too, man.
Yeah, Rashan is my godfather to my kids.
Really?
He's here now.
God, he was good too.
Yeah. So Rashan, Primož Brezec.
Yeah.
Then was Beno Udrih.
Yeah.
Saša Vujačić.
Yeah.
Saša Vujačić.
Then was me. And Ura Slokar. I don't know if you guys know him. He played for Toronto 1 year.
That's crazy.
So,
though.
Yeah.
Eight people, six, seven players.
And that's why when you guys were able to win in the Olympics and you became a champion and you were the leader of that team, that's why it was so big for your country at that time. You just tap into how big that was for your country and how historical that was.
That was huge. That was huge because in the past, we had a lot of good players.
For the people, for me too, what year was this?
2017. Yeah, I was with the Heat, and you know, I play every. So I play 15 years in NBA. So all probably out of 15, 14 years, I always play for my national team.
Mm-hmm.
So no summers off.
And, I was gonna say, explain that to people because as you go through it, they don't understand. Like you play a grueling NBA schedule.
Yeah.
And then the national team is every summer?
Every summer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And practice is not like, it's not
no,
like.
No, it's like 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And you ain't getting no younger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Explain
we ain't getting younger.
But so let's say we finish playoffs around what? May, end of May or June.
Yeah, May, June.
Then I will get back home and I would take off like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'm back with the national team. So then the national team is preparing for, let's say, for European Championship or for World Championship, or you have qualification games for Olympics or something. So every summer we had something. And what was really good for me, because I was always in shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't take off like 2 months or 3 months. I was always playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the only bad thing was probably, you know, that take a lot of toll on my body.
Yeah. Yes.
Down the stretch of my career, but it was fun, man. Was
so
fun.
2017, then Luka had to be young.
He was 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was his first year with the national team. So I took him under my wings. He was in my room. I was his, you know, his mentor and everything.
You were his OG.
Yes, OG, like OG. Yeah. And because before this European Championship, I said that this is my last competition for my country. So, and then we won gold medal. Yeah, it was crazy.
Got a chance to land his own plane.
That's right.
But I do believe, like, in higher powers, if I can say that.
Yeah.
Because my grandpa passed away 5 days before European Championship. Mm. I already know that he gonna, because he was in bad condition.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to hospital to visit him, and he asked me what we have, and I told him, yeah, I'm gonna play for national. He said, please win a medal for me.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I really believe, like, you know, when that happened, man, I was playing off my mind, you know, for him, and it was crazy. But yeah.
Wow.
So that was the only gold medal for our country.
That's dope.
In team sports. Gold medal.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So. That's dope.
Well, it's hard. 2 million people. You ain't gotta.
Yeah, just imagine you play against Greece, against Spain, against Germany, against Serbia, against France. You know, those are all good teams.
Y'all damn sure weren't the favorites.
No, oh, no.
Y'all damn sure weren't the favorites.
That would be like, okay, let's say March Madness.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last team.
Yeah,
a small college win an NCAA tournament.
Like Oakland beating Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, literally.
So you talked about it, though, a little bit about even Joker, like Nikola Jokic. Can a foreign player be the face of the NBA? Will it be? Because it can be.
I believe you need to have two things. You have to win. You have to be MVP. But then you have to be good for the marketing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't know if Jokic has that.
Yeah.
Great.
Like Luka.
He's already got two of them.
He's definitely MVP.
He won championship.
But now the face probably has to have everything.
And let's be honest, Joker don't give a shit about
that. You have to want that responsibility.
He only wants to win and go home and dance and chill with his horses.
Yeah, I ain't mad at him. Sometimes it's his beauty and simplicity, killer.
Yeah,
just go ahead, come over here. This is a job for me. I bring my ass to the United States, do my job, and take my ass home.
Yes. Now if Luka wins.
Yeah,
I mean, Wemby's coming, but if Luka wins, I mean, gosh damn, he got all that.
I'm gonna be honest with you, the way they playing the game of basketball right now, I don't know if anybody's playing better, in right now to finish out the season, because you know we all know this the shit about getting hot at the right time.
No, but let me ask
you, get hot at the right time, you can run this shit off. You can run the table. They hot right now.
You're always saying that if you want to win championship, you need to have a defense too.
This is true. I think they got better.
This does go away from him.
No. I think they got better during the trade deadline.
Yeah, I agree.
When they got PJ, they got Gafford. Yeah. Because now we also understand
D.
that
Jones,
the NBA game.
D. Jones. They got D. Jones.
Jones. Yeah, yeah. Which is, the NBA game is fucking 80 fucking pick and rolls, 90 pick and rolls a night. Now you got some guys that can be switchable matchups on pick and rolls and take you out a lot of triggers. Yeah. You can switch PJ on the perimeter guy.
Yeah.
You can switch Gafford on the perimeter guy. Those guys can switch. So now you're taking away a lot of triggers defensively, flatten out the offense, and then just make guys take bullshit ass shots. So I understand what they did. Does the defensive philosophy kick in mentally for those guys? I don't know. That's just something you got to work on every day to work those habits. But I understand what they have with the five guys and the trades that they made and what they can do to change their game defensively and philosophy-wise. Sure. I do get that. Now they got to buy in. That's a whole nother thing.
But the West is tough, man. It's a lot.
Who you got coming out of the West?
I mean, Denver. Definitely Denver. I mean, he's going to be – that Minnesota looks good. But the only thing, they're young. You know, I don't know in playoffs, but I do like to watch them.
You don't think Rudy's going to be able to play in the playoffs?
He's not?
Uh-uh.
I mean,
I ain't gonna say he ain't gonna be able to play in the whole playoffs, depending on what
matchup. Yeah, exactly.
Some series
yeah.
might not. You just like how we have for the Miami Heat. You got to understand in the playoffs, this matchup might not be for you, killer.
So you exactly. think they switch it up
depending on who they playing?
Yeah.
They also have a hell of a. They have Naz Reid.
Because so I don't know. I don't know if we've ever seen that though. I don't think you've ever seen a guy who makes $45 million a year not playing the playoffs because of matchups.
Oh no, this won't be the first time. I think if we look back, there's been times where I'm not saying you take him out of the lineup, but he's only going to play limited minutes. You got to monitor his minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. That doesn't happen very often. It happens with role players more than.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I watch.
I mean, if he wins Defensive Player of the Year and doesn't play in the playoffs, that'd be fucking shocking.
Listen. You want to win?
No. I understand the glasses are coming off, and I get all that. I get all that shit. Okay. So, but I'm saying if your Defensive Player of the Year does not play in a series, that means he's not Defensive Player of the Year, in my opinion.
I've sat in locker rooms on the other side, and I understand when you play against a guy who's as dominant in the paint and, you know, rim protecting just like he is, how that can be a liability in certain situations in the playoffs. Right now, we're playing a game where guys are shooting threes 1-5.
Yeah, We got a
five man that really doesn't leave the paint.
You have to understand, I don't disagree with you. What I'm saying is, to me, it'll be interesting to see if Finch goes into a playoff series and sits a guy whose defense. I'm not saying it's not the right move.
What the fuck
move.
You think they paid Naz Reid for? They smart.
I understand that. No, Naz Reid's going to play in his rotation.
They got a bag of chips in a soda.
But if you watch Minnesota this year, mm-hmm. which I know you do, mm-hmm. they play 7-8 dudes, and Rudy plays a ton of minutes for a big.
Okay, Cat's going to be back.
I understand that. What I'm saying, though, is like, so you're going to have some huge balls if you're Finch now to go in that series and say, okay, I'm not playing this dude.
I didn't say not play him. You don't just take him and just throw the motherfucker to
the Wolves. If you're playing 12 minutes, that's not playing him. That means you're basically giving him 6 in the first and 6 in the second.
Then he's going to start complaining.
100%.
Well, he got to get the fuck out of here then.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I'm with you. I'm not saying you're wrong.
There's going to be a series
it's gonna take,
in the playoffs.
It's going to take, like, to me, that'd be a real established coach. It has to be an established coach that believes in himself that can say, I'm not going to play potentially a defensive player of the year in this series. Because if you lose that series,
What about you
trust
guys
me,
think
if they
about
lose the
OKC?
Series, trust me, I'm going to be honest. If they lose the series, ain't nobody going to be saying because Rudy ain't play.
You don't think so?
Hell no.
Okay.
OKC. What about OKC?
I love OKC.
And once again, this is not saying that I don't like what Rudy Gobert does.
No, you're not.
I understand what he is, he is elite at it.
The reality
but the
is
way
that
the game has changed.
What you're saying has a lot of merit to it. It's true. Like, there's going to be scenarios and matchups in this playoffs. Yes. That's why I think it's going to be interesting is, like, are you going to change who you are? Like, I used to say it all the time, even with those Phoenix teams. Mm-hmm. We used to change who we were when we played the Phoenix Suns because they played Sean Marion and Amar'e Stoudemire at the 4 and the 5. But it was crazy to me. I always said it, like, so you mean to tell me that we're going to play 47 straight games this way and then we go to play the Phoenix Suns and we're going to change it? They're going to beat us that way anyways.
I mean, we was able to do it. When we got in and then we switched certain matchups, when it came to Indiana, it was like, okay, Shane, this not your matchup, this UD matchup.
No,
I didn't play much.
That's not to me, those, like, role situations are 100% different. I'm with you on that. Yeah. But you're talking about, like, this could be potentially Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see if he shelves them. It would be very interesting to see.
You want to win?
I agree. That's the goal.
It's not a knock on Rudy Gobert, but I think everybody got to understand, like, this just might not be the series.
But you've had the number one defense.
Next series.
You've had the number one defensive in the league basically all year. Mm-hmm. Well, we just talked about defense wins championship. Anthony Edwards is an absolute motherfucker.
Yes.
Animal. All right. Cat obviously can shoot the cover off the ball, spreads the floor. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a good storyline.
But what you got to understand is he's won Defensive Player of the Year before in the past, and they haven't had the number one defense. So I think that them having a number one defense doesn't have to do with Rudy Gobert. It has to do with Ant. And I think it's the mentality that he's infused into that locker room, into those guys. Because they've had him at Defensive Player of the Year before, and they wasn't tops in the league in defense.
I don't disagree.
They were dog shit in defense. Yeah, so now you're tops in the league in defense. and you still got your defensive player of the year. What has changed? Mm-hmm. I think it's the leadership.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Sorry, I just think it's going to be interesting.
No, no.
So who you got coming out of the West? Because me and him will do this all
Denver. Denver, and I like OKC. OKC is young, long. I mean, Alexander is playing. Mm-hmm. I think so he can be MVP this year.
So for instance, great point. If you're playing Denver, Rudy's in the lineup. He's starting, he's going to get 35, 40 minutes. Okay, if you playing OKC and Chet, he might not get as many minutes. This might be a Nas Reed matchup.
So,
no, I don't disagree with you. Believe me, you guys, we're talking the same language. It's just going to be interesting to see if he does it.
So why are you asking rhetorical questions?
I want to
you
hear
know the fucking answer.
I want to hear your take.
You know where he should be.
I don't know if Finch will be able, I don't think Finch will take him out of the lineup. I really don't.
You know Fish like that?
Yeah.
Give me his number. I call him.
No, I'm just saying, like, you'll have a lot of explaining.
This is not a knock on Rudy. I'm just saying this is how this game goes now.
Coach, I get it, but it's like, okay, cool. You guys do that, right? You guys play OKC and it's Chet. You go in that Chet matchup and you make a switch and Nas Reed, who I really, really like, and Chet goes and has unbelievable games. So you just went and changed your defense for no reason then. You changed your whole rotation for no reason.
Trust me. If you lose against OKC, it ain't going to be because of Chet.
It could be if you're talking about matchups.
At the end of the day, the stars are going to do their jobs. You're just trying to do as much damage control as possible by putting in a good system. Like I say, and I always tell guys, don't fail the system. Let the system fail you.
So that goes to show then you're basically changing your system because you're taking Rudy out. Okay, what if Rudy's been hurt this year? I know, but let me say this, right? So you say that it's not going to be Chet that wins the series for you. Why not run SGA to Rudy Gobert every time and let Chet beat you then?
Run SGA?
Make force everything funnel, everything SGA like to Rudy Gobert. Man. Just funnel it right to Rudy Gobert. Like, I'll be honest, when I watch those two guys play, Rudy and Karl-Anthony Towns, and you add Jaden McDaniels in there, their length and size is
defender.
A motherfucker.
He's a good
so
defender.
If you think SGA is going to win your series, funnel him to those length. Because once you take that length out,
man, the man averaging.
I'm just being devil's advocate. I don't disagree with what you're saying.
The man averaging 30 plus. You don't think people tried to funnel him?
Yeah, but I'd like to see what the
other
guys
are. He's going to get to his spots.
He's a motherfucker.
He's
going
to get to his spots.
He's unbelievable. But I'm saying there's a different one when it's Rudy down there now.
You know, if like when
what
I played.
What would you say, Warren? What would you say?
When I played against Utah and Rudy was, oh my God, I was like.
Yeah.
Pick and roll. Yeah. Because, you know, I love playing in drop coverage and this, you know, it was. Was a floater, or was a layup mid-range, or was a lob to Bam?
Yeah.
And then in offense, he's not going to give you only lob.
Yeah.
But defense, defense.
Only
change.
I feel like in certain matchups, you got to say, hey, this might not be your series.
I don't disagree with you. I just have to have the banter with you. I like you fired up.
I get it.
Let's say, for example, put Milwaukee versus Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
He's always outside on the
Brook
three.
Brook Lopez is actually the spread guy. It ain't.
Yeah,
it ain't
he's
Giannis.
Not even a center.
They use Brook Lopez for the spacing.
Yeah.
So now.
No, it makes valid points. It's great to see. It's just, I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting to see if you have the number one defense all year if you change it.
Yeah, number one defense in the season.
Playoffs
is two different things.
I'm just asking the question.
Playoffs is two different things.
Why are you going to be? I'm asking the question.
You guys have beef.
Oh, yeah. Playoffs is two different things. Okay, we got to go. We got to move on.
This has been 30 years of this shit right here.
It's the truth, though.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
And guess what? There's going to be some series where Rudy might win you that series. But every series ain't going to be a Rudy series.
No. I'm with you. I just like to hear it. The East. Who you get out of the East?
East. Boston looks good. Then I'm gonna take Miami. I don't know about Milwaukee. They're too up and down and changing of coach and Giannis got hurt now. I do like Dame in that.
Yeah.
Dame is.
What
about New York?
They're four right now.
I think Orlando beats them first round. How about that?
I think Brunson's really, really good.
He's unbelievable.
I think he's really fucking good.
He's really good.
I think they need Randall back.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He's done. Right?
Yeah, he's not. He's out for the season with the surgery. I think they would need Randall back.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with Mike. I think Orlando can take that one. Mm-hmm. I like what they've done defensively. Yeah, yeah. Once again, we talk about the game being fucking 80 fucking pick and rolls. You have length. You have athleticism. You don't want neither one of them matchups when you run a pick and roll. You know what I'm saying? All those guys are going to switch on to you. They're going to guard their yard. So I love what Mosley's doing over there. for me, it was just understanding their spacing and what everybody's role is offensively and being consistent with that. But as far as getting into a playoff series, I do think they could get the Knicks.
I do too. I'll be honest. It's going to come down to it. It's going to come because I watch every Orlando Magic game. It's going to come down to Tibbs showing bodies and making shots for Orlando.
And if they can get OG back.
But you know how this is going to be. Tibbs is going to cloud everything up. Orlando hasn't shot it great all year.
Make shots.
Your young team, like that'd be my biggest thing. Is you're gonna have to find ways to get easy stuff for Paolo.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna have to find ways to open it up because he's gonna pass the shit out of it. But if it's always passing, we're not making threes. It's gonna be tough. We got to make shots.
Stay out that Mack truck lane. Run wide.
Stay out that Mack truck lane.
Run wide. Get space. Stay out that Mack truck lane. Run wide and get space. That's how that shit works. Feel me?
Let's go to some fan questions real quick because. Everybody's been asking.
Fan questions, I got one thing.
Okay.
You said you like Dame. You remember that time we went out in Portland?
Oh, shit. Come on. Don't bring that out here, OG.
I got to bring it up.
What happened? Now I got to know.
Oh, my God.
Now I got to know.
We got a day off. It's my bright idea. Hey, let's find us a strip club in Portland and go have some drinks.
Oh, jeez. Of course it's your idea. Guys, strip club and you.
We're in lobby, OG. Let's go, G. I said, okay.
Yeah, G, let's go, man. Let's go find a strip club, man. Nice place.
Team player.
Sit down, have some drinks, chill out, relax. I think we had maybe lost maybe a couple games. We're just trying to boost the morale up.
What happened, OG? We got in.
Portland, y'all got to do better. Portland, y'all got to do better.
OG was saying, man, everybody's on crack in this bitch, man.
Everybody look like they do meth in this motherfucker. Where we? What the fuck are we looking at here? Like this is insane. That shit was like a motherfucking episode of Night of the Walking Dead in that motherfucker. I was like, hey man, listen, you know what? Let's just find a bar for some drinks. Fuck the strippers. You know, we ain't even looking for that no more. Let's just find somewhere to have some drinks.
OG, we were there like 2 minutes.
Man, that shit was bad. We walked in that motherfucker and I done been to the slums, but even I was like, oh, I'm too good for this place. Even I was like, ew. Boy, y'all got to do better. Damn, boy. Y'all fucked up me and Gogi first time going out to get drinks at the strip club, man.
I remember we went in Cleveland. You remember we went to casino? So, you know, I don't gamble. Even on the plane, OG's always playing cards. I'm like watching a movie. I watch how they
Cleveland, that's cards. Palo Alame.
So
motherfuckers owe me some money.
OG and DH. Was DH with us?
Yes, DH.
DH was with us. And OG, let's go to the casino. I said, okay, why not? Let's go. I mean, this guy plays blackjack.
Yes.
Quick, like 7K or was like 15K?
Yeah.
Like, we out. Man. I was like, oh, my God.
He can't help but make money.
Did I win or did I lose?
No, you win.
Okay, I can't remember.
Listen, your whole life just
let me tell you
money.
Something. You know how I learn? And it's not racist. Asian people. If you fucking walk in a casino and see an Asian person sit next to that motherfucker, he know how to play. She know how to play. And they going to damn your ass if you wrong. They will cuss at you in their language and let you know you fucked up the table.
How they cuss at you?
That shit, I don't know what they be saying, but they going to let you know you fucked up. So literally, when I first started playing blackjack or dice or any game, when I first bought a casino, you sit next to the Asian person. They're going to have all the design on. Saatchi, Fendi, Gucci, all that shit. Dressed to the nine. They know how to fucking gamble. So I learned how to gamble sitting next to Asian people, bro. And I got good at that shit, too. I'm pretty good at blackjack. It got to the point where I had to step away from that shit because that shit could have been another job. that shit could have definitely been another job, bro. I get it in with that blackjack killer.
Yeah, I remember. OG was up. He won some money. I think DH.
Yeah. Bad luck, janky-ass DH.
He lose everything.
You know, motherfucker is just mush. He's just mush at the table. We ain't never won at the same time. Either I'm winning or he winning. We can't never win together.
You remember in the bubble we were seeing when he warmed up?
Out there jogging. This motherfucker out here jogging around the goddamn bubble. He our team security. I'm like, motherfucker, ain't nobody to fight here. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I think we all safe. It's only us. Ain't nothing going on out here. Shit.
Well, Dragon, here at the OGs, we're the man of the people. So we're going to ask these questions from the people, okay?
Yeah.
First one, best Dwayne memory from being his teammate?
Oh, I would say
you got a shirt on, repping right now.
Yeah, D-Wade. I would say the playoffs, I remember which year, but in Charlotte, when the guy was on the sideline in the pink shirt, he was like yapping at D-Wade, like da-da-da-da. And D-Wade went bananas. He scored like what?
I don't know. Fried that motherfucker like chicken. And we're talking shit to him the whole time.
The whole time, every time he scored, he would go back to him and like.
You and D-Wade have a similarity. It's a similar character trait that I don't possess. When they get mad, they play better.
I curse in my language.
Yeah, but you play better. This motherfucker got his tooth knocked out. Was it Atlanta?
Atlanta and Detroit. Detroit when I got it, then I threw it at the ref. You remember?
He fucking threw his tooth. This motherfucker threw his tooth at the ref. That's when I said, I like this motherfucker. I was like, I like this motherfucker.
I was
dribbling. This motherfucker's a goon.
I was dribbling and the guy hit me with his elbow. I'm like, oh, God damn it. So I spit the tooth in my hand.
Yeah.
And I showed the ref, motherfucker, call a foul and throw the tooth.
Throw his fucking tooth at the ref. That's what I was like. I was like 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. I'm fucking with this motherfucker. I'm fucking with this motherfucker and kept playing. Like, nowadays, you lose a tooth, you out 17 months. You can cuss.
17.
You know what was the crazy thing? When I was playing with the Suns, Steve Nash was a playoff and he got hit in against San Antonio. He got hit in the nose and the nose was like crooked.
Yeah.
Bro, he just did this. Middle of the game. Didn't even go out or... He just readjusted his nose by himself and keep playing.
Nowadays, you got a mask.
That's perfect, because the next question is, what was it like being mentored by Steve Nash?
Oh, it was
a great question.
He said Steve Nash.
No, it was great. Steve, you know, he was always first at the practice. I would sit next to him on the plane, next to him at the locker room, and he would just give me a great pointer, especially the pick and roll, you know, that Steve Nash pick and roll when you loop around keep the paint, keep the dribble. That was one of the, that kind of opened everything for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I was playing pick and roll, because I had one problem when I came to the NBA. I play pick and roll and then I always kill the dribble.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he would give me this.
Yeah.
Like, no, just keep the dribble alive, go through the paint. And yeah, that was huge. And just, you know, to have him around, he's such a good guy. Would help me a lot. And, you know, 2010, when we played conference finals versus Lakers, that was, I really thought we were gonna make the finals, but you know, on the other side was Kobe.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was.
Something else, wasn't he?
Black Mamba was a motherfucker.
Man, he was something else.
We would put literally four guys on him, and he would not even pass the ball because he know that the other team, they would not make the shot. He would just shoot over the guys and make everything. It was unbelievable.
Next question. What was your welcome to the Heat culture moment?
You know, I got traded during the middle of the season, and I don't remember really well that, you know, I didn't play well at the beginning. I was struggling, new system, new teammates. And I remember off season, after the season, Pat called me in his office, and I sit down, and he looked dead into my eyes, and he's like, "Son, you need to be better. We didn't pay you for this shit."
Damn.
I was like, "Yeah, bro." I'm serious. So I was like, "God damn, I just got here." He was like, "No, I want you to think about this the whole summer, you know." And I literally had this in my mind every practice.
That's my Pat's a gangster, boy. I tell you.
So next year I came back. I was hooping, but and then what else? Oh my God! I remember training camp, Boca Raton.
That's what I thought she was going to
bring. I make one mistake. You know what was my mistake? I didn't have my car, and Birdman like, "Oh, you want to ride to training camp?"
Yeah, you don't want
to
ride Bird.
I almost died.
You don't want to ride a Bird.
He ran through five red lights on purpose. I was like, God damn.
You don't want to ride a Bird.
I was already sending a text message to my ex-wife and the kids like.
I love you.
Yeah, you don't want to ride a Bird.
No, Birdman had that big.
That Hellcat.
Yes.
He had that motherfucking Hellcat. That motherfucker was fast as shit.
And he would do? He would step on it, go through the red light, and he would start yelling, "Ah!" So I'm like sitting in the car. What the fuck is going on?
I love Bird, man. Boy, that's my favorite.
I'm telling you, man. Me and Bird supposed to listen. WrestleMania. Y'all call us.
That would be.
I'll see y'all
that
call
would be.
Travis Kelce. Y'all call me. That'd we already got our name and all. The Bash Brothers. We ready.
Hold on a second, though. What did Coach Riley say to you in the office? You got to be better?
He said, hey, we didn't pay for that shit. You have to
God damn, Pat. That's crazy.
But for me, it worked. Like, because, you know.
Listen, let me tell you something. I just got one Pat story. I don't know if I told this story before. Pat lined us up on the wall, and we wasn't winning. And after he gave his speech, and he said, this was a long time ago, this is before you got here. He said, if anybody got a problem, you come to my office as soon as I finish. As soon as Pat finished talking, Michael Doliak, shout out Doli. Doli got up and walked straight to the office to holler at Pat. Doli get downstairs 5 minutes later. I say, what'd he tell you, Doli? Doli said, he told me to get the fuck out of his office.
That sound about right.
I said, what'd he say to you, Dolly? Tell me to get the fuck out of his office.
next question.
Oh, the one more thing.
Oh, go ahead, yes.
The other thing was we had those tests, you know.
Conditioning tests.
Oh, fuck. So I remember CB, D-Way, Dual Dang, OG. I don't know who brought those.
D-Wade brought those stink ass masks.
Oh my God. Those
stink
masks?
Stink ass masks, man. You remember the masks that you put on? They cut down the oxygen.
The oxygen. So
you wear it so it intensifies
masks.
Your workout?
I passed out. But you know what happened in the end?
That shit almost made me lose alone.
No, CB took the mask off. He didn't have those filters in.
Oh, CB cheated the game.
He was cheating, man. I damn near lost a lung.
I was like, nah, I ain't doing this shit ever again.
That sounds terrible.
Hey, I don't need that much. This ain't motherfucking Navy SEALs. Fucking Navy SEALs up in this motherfucker. It was damn near die.
I was
lightheaded and shit.
Last question. I'm gonna see which one I wanna pull here. What's your thoughts on Duncan Robinson's development? What was it like being his mentor?
Oh, he was good, great, man. He like work out every practice, after practice, we would have those pre-practices. He would be there, but you know, Duncan, oh my God, he always can shoot the ball. Yeah. The only problem that he has was his confidence.
Yes.
As soon as he got his confidence, oh my God, like it was so easy to play with him, especially him and Bam. They really connected. Bam, handoff, dunk. He opened up everything for us.
Yes.
Spacing, yes. Like for me, it was easy because I had the whole lane open. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I can operate and everything. And he was just shy.
Yeah.
Shy, quiet, like me. I mean, I was the same thing. You know, for me, the toughest thing was my accent. OG was always make fun of my accent, so I was like, fuck that, I'm not talking.
Yeah, yeah, you know? First of all, he made fun of
everything. Hey, yeah. Hey, why don't you tell him what your favorite show is, what you used to like watch with Cookie?
Oh, what was the name with Cookie? Was, oh my God, the singing.
The show with Cookie.
The show with the Cookie, you know, with.
God damn it.
Huh? Empire.
Motherfucker loves Empire.
I was in love with Cookie.
He loves fucking Empire, bro. Cookie, she's amazing. Empire. I was like, oh shit, Cookie, you watch Empire?
Yeah, that was my show, man.
He fucking loves some fucking Empire, bro.
That was your shit, Cookie,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Hey, we got the Prize Pick segment coming up. We got every time we do Prize Picks, free money at Prize Picks. UD wins free money everywhere he goes, especially on
giving
Prize
out
Picks.
Money.
They just
love
hand
money.
The shit out. They hand it out. It's fucking
love
free.
That money. Top five.
But today's, go ahead.
Top five international players of all time.
Ooh,
it'd be easy to say
all
right
time.
Now. It's easy to say right now. We understand Joker is him, Luka is him. Yeah. Top five.
All time. Good luck with this one, dog. I'm gonna sit back.
It's a tough one. So I can put those guys in, or you know, they
you
have to finish the career and then.
Listen, let me tell you something. They are shit. I don't know the history of all international players.
No, but Jokic and Luka up there.
Yeah, them two motherfuckers
because
are him.
Those numbers that they are producing is out of this.
Yeah, they're 2K numbers.
So then I'm gonna put one guy in. Dražen Petrović.
Oof.
Bad motherfucker.
Man, he was amazing. Then Dirk Nowitzki is a four.
Yep.
bad motherfucker.
And then, you, oh my God, then you got, okay, I'm good. Five, I have to go with Paul Gasol. Then you have Peja Stojakovic. He was my favorite. Then you got Shrimp.
Yep,
Detlef Shrimp.
Boy. Here is Tony Parker, you know.
Bad boy, Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc.
Oh, shit.
It's a lot of guys.
So hold on, let's go back to it. So you got.
So let's start with the point guard. Right. Okay, let's do a point guard.
Do a starting five.
Yeah.
Can you do a starting
five? Yeah, yeah. Let's do Tony Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Over Luka, huh?
Tough.
No, I put Luka as two guard.
Oh, you shoot. Okay.
Remember Tony Parker led the league in
point guard, which is unheard of.
He was a.
He still had centers in the league, Shaq and these guys, and we had a point guard that led the league in paint points.
You couldn't keep him out of the paint.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what he had? He didn't have like a two step. No. He had like a quick layup. It's crazy. So Tony, let's put Luka. Tony Kukoc, four Dirk, and five Paul Gasol.
Over Joker. I played with both of them, Mark, Kyle, and Joker.
That's tough, man.
That goddamn Joker, man.
Yeah, if I put Joker as a five and then as a four. It's between Dirk? Powell and Dirk. That's what I'm saying.
But you can't take Dirk out.
Yeah, Dirk has to be then in front of Powell. And then three, let's say Tony, that's going to be a lot of length. Yeah, that's good. Luka, two. Yeah, yeah. And then Tony, one. Yeah, let's do it.
That's your final answer.
That's a fucking squad.
No, it's unbelievable.
That's a stick.
It's unbelievable.
For sure.
It's hard, though, because Powell is a motherfucker, too.
Man.
I called him the meal ticket.
The meal.
I called him the meal ticket because whenever he ate, the rest of us ate for free.
It's crazy. Mm.
Whenever he came to hoop,
like man, that. When he was a rookie in Memphis,
no idea when I got traded there how good he was because he was still young. And then I got there, I'm like, holy shit.
Mm. You know, we always, every big tournament with national team, we would always have Spain in our group.
Yeah. Mm.
And nobody could guard Powell because we didn't have big guys. And, you know, he was just so dominant and so crafty and skilled. He was so skilled.
Yeah, he's definitely skilled.
It's crazy.
Skilled as shit.
And that was, but, you know, I do believe the game changed a lot, especially, you know, those early guys like Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic, Sabonis, Tony Kukoc, Dino Radja. You know, those guys paved the way for us now because that was the hardest part for European or for international players to break in the NBA. Because if you're honest, you know, everybody thought Europeans are soft.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You
ain't soft at all.
No, but, you know, it's...
That's what they don't know no better.
Because, you know, they were never physical. They were always skilled. They all shoot or, you know. And that thing changed. And then, you know, the next generation, when I came, Tony older than me, but then was more and more Europeans. And now, right now, it's just crazy to see how they're dominating the NBA. It's, you know, now this young kid, Wemby, he's, oh my God.
That motherfucker's going to be, listen.
Hold on, before we get off here then, because you brought him up. Defensive player of the year this year, is it Wemby or is it Rudy?
I mean, it depends what you look, how you look. You look.
Killer trying to tee me up right now.
I'm trying to tee me up right now.
do you put the record, team record in it? Or?
I mean, it's your call. You're the one doing it. What do you value?
You know, it was crazy because last night I just saw the video. Was like they stole the ball and was 3-on-1 against Wemby.
Yeah,
and nobody wanted to shoot.
They basically stopped playing.
Yeah, stopped playing. So I was like, so listen, I go Wemby.
Well,
listen, let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, well, I ain't gonna even say it's all said and done. In the next couple of years, I'm expecting that boy to average a triple double.
With blocks,
or with assists. I'm not.
Well, he's got a double double for sure.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to get a double double for sure. But they're going to play through him so much.
Yeah.
He has a great basket. He has a good basketball IQ.
It's going to be interesting how they continue to develop him as far as minutes and stuff, though.
I think,
because for him to triple double, he's got to play a lot of minutes.
Well,
because they don't shoot very well over there.
Yeah, but you run your offense through him, and you put him at the top of the key. You can run; he can pass the
ball.
Oh,
I agree.
You pull the big away from the basket. Yes. You work your backdoor cuts.
There's a reason his logo is an alien.
Yeah. Okay. And if you don't come out there, the motherfucker can shoot it.
Yeah.
So now you pull the big away from the basket. I'm looking for him to be shit. I mean, Russ did it with assists. I'm looking for him to be a triple double guy at some point.
Yeah.
Yes, he can do it with blocks, but I think he also do it with assists.
Quadruple double?
No, a triple double. Ain't no motherfucking quadruple double.
What do you mean with blocks, assists, points, or rebounds?
I don't know if he's gonna do all four, but I know he can do three out of the four. Yeah. I don't know if it's gonna be blocks or assists. I look for it to be with assists. Because once again, with it blocks, motherfuckers gonna get in the paint and let that motherfucker. They're not gonna shoot over him.
Yeah,
they gonna get in the paint and spray. Yeah. But with offense, the offense is gonna be ran through him. The ball is gonna be in his hand a lot. Bringing him at the top of the key, running any elbow action, running any action from the top of the key that's gonna pull the big away from the basket, working those backdoor cuts, all that shit. The ball finds energy, bro.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if the game is played the right way and it's played through him, and if he really wants to focus on it, because the motherfucker gonna sleepwalk into a double.
100%.
You can book the 20 and 10. So now he starts to understand the game and starts to watch film and starts to see how he can make people better. Why can't he be a triple-double?
I don't disagree. I think he can. Whether he does it or not, it's going to be fucking fun to watch.
You know what's a huge factor, too, that Pop just re-signed for 5 years?
Yeah.
That's big.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be fun to
watch. Shout out to Pop.
Yep. Shout out to
Pop. Outlast all of us.
Exactly.
Like Ronald Isley. Outlast everybody like Ronald Isley.
Well, G, man, we appreciate you coming here, dog. A lot of fun. I learned a lot today.
Hell yeah, for sure.
And I apologize. You had to be teammates with him.
Shit, that was
Wait,
hold on. You ain't asking one question. There was one question on that fucking board. Who was his favorite teammate? Who was his best teammate?
You know what's the funny story about OG?
Yeah.
We play against Philly.
Yeah.
And Dwight Howard was playing. And OG spoke because OG, go in. He got ejected in the first minute of the game.
Okay, but tell him before I got ejected, I was 4-for-4.
You were 4-for-4.
I was cooking with no grease. 4-for-4.
When the glasses come off,
I was on fire. Listen, and when I got in the locker room, the first thing I said to myself was, damn, I fucked up my good game. I don't even get a chance to play that much. I was about to have a good one. I done fucked it up.
It goes back to what I tell them though.
It was a situation where I went for a rebound. Dwight threw me down on the ground. Did. You know what I'm saying? I watch a lot of basketball. I understood that particular season, Dwight had led the league in those kind of fouls, offensive fouls, just throwing people down. That's that muscle shit. Like, we ain't doing that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like I thought about it because I am playing well. I only been in the game for a little while, but then I thought about what I tell my guys. I always tell my guys, don't let nobody fuck with you.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody get away with shit. Because if you let them get away with it once, they're going to keep fucking doing it. And you better believe when they play you again, they're going to remember that your ass was soft the last time. And that becomes a reputation in this fucking league of being soft if you let people get away with shit. So after I got up, I said, nah, I can't let this shit ride. I can't let this shit ride. And I just had to handle my business. And when I said something to Dwight, I said, man, what the fuck is you doing? I said, come on with that bullshit. And I didn't expect him to say nothing back, but his response was, what you going to do? Oh, what I'm going to do? I'm going to poke your fucking eyeball out. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a fucking hole in your fucking head. That's what I'm going to do, motherfucker. Like, you tripping. Like, why you want to throw me down? I don't play that much.
OG, what about Detroit?
Oh, man, that fan. I'm going to whoop his ass. Bro, once again, it's always somebody fucking with me now. So,
oh, it's never your fault.
Nah, man, I don't bother nobody, bro. I get in the game again. I don't know if this was the end of the game.
The
Philly game, I was actually playing real minutes.
Yeah.
That's why I really fucked up. I was in the rotation that night, and I was doing good. I was fighting for more minutes. Folks might have seen me play that game. Like, you know what? We need this motherfucker. But anyway, I got to throw it out. So now we in Detroit. Same thing. But I think this is a different. I think this is the end of the game.
Yeah, that was end
this
of the
is
game.
The end of the game. So I get put in at the end of the game. Once again, I already hate that shit anyway, but I'm a good vet. I gotta show professionalism to my young guys. So I get in the motherfucking game. As soon as I get in the fucking game, I get fouled. I go to the free throw line. So I'm at the free throw line. This is fan sitting courtside. This motherfucker's just talking shit. Before that, even a couple times up the court, he talking shit. So now I get fouled. Boom. I missed the first free throw. He talking shit. I make the second free throw. Boom. There's another play where there's a foul and there's a timeout. So now I'm getting ready to walk to the bench for the timeout.
He did a detour.
And I said to myself, I might not get another chance to check this motherfucker. I just might not. So I made a U-turn. And I walked over to the motherfucker sitting courtside. I don't know if he was with his boy or he was with his girl or he was with somebody. And I told him, I said, hey, man, listen, sit your ass down and enjoy the game. Because if you was out here in these streets, you wouldn't talk that shit because I whoop your motherfucking ass. So enjoy this motherfucking game before you get embarrassed out here. You know what I'm saying? Just enjoy the game. Enjoy the show, dog. You know what I'm saying? And that was literally just it. You know what I'm saying? But once again, I don't believe in bullying. You ain't gonna come to this motherfucker and bully me. You know what I'm saying? I don't bother nobody. And the referee that night actually came up to me after the game and said, good job for standing up for yourself. Yeah, this motherfucker gonna single me out and think I'm the one to be bullied. What made you think about this 6'8", 230-pound nigga that this the nigga you could bully? Like, I don't know where you got that shit
he
from.
Switches on. He switches on.
You know what I'm saying? So that was another situation where, once again, I tell my guys all the time, man, don't let nobody fuck with you. Don't let nobody disrespect you. And don't let nobody get over on you. That's the shit I learned from my daddy. I'm a daddy's son. So my daddy roll over in his grave if I let a motherfucker get over on me.
But you know what? I appreciate the OGs for that because he always got my back and JJ.
Yeah.
Oh.
JJ.
Oh, JJ got everyone.
That shit real. JJ, man. That's,
yeah, that shit real.
That's too good. That's two people. Two good people.
What was that? I always had this motherfucker back too.
Yes, ask him. He sure did.
Yeah, I always had his back too. Did. I was about to whoop some ass.
Like, I was never scared to fight.
No.
Because I'm not a fighter, but like.
Like I tell everybody.
I know that.
Like I tell everybody.
I got OG and JJ on my side.
Like I tell everybody, man, all I want to see you do is stand up for yourself. I do the rest. Yeah. Just stand up for yourself.
I ain't got no problem doing that. Well, I appreciate you coming in, man.
Yes, sir. Go
I appreciate you, dog, for real.
Y'all get me going on the old stories.
Good. Yeah, you'll get going.
I ain't bother nobody. Hey, Portland, y'all do better.
OG's out. Appreciate you, G.